a covenant ordered and sure. You'll find it in your spiral hymnal. Don't worry, I'm not going to lead you in music. Tom's going to come up and do that. But I wanted to call your attention to that hymn so that we could understand the passage of Scripture I want us to read together. If you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. We worship a God who is faithful to his promises. And just the promises that he's made to us in his word, but the promises that he made to his son and the son to his father and the Holy Spirit to the father and the son in the covenant of grace before time ever began. It's an eternal covenant where God Almighty promised to give to his son a people. The Lord Jesus Christ entered into that covenant relationship with his Father. This is before man was ever made, and promised to redeem them and to do everything necessary to put away their sin and to make them righteous and acceptable in the sight of God. God the Holy Spirit, the third person of our triune Godhead, entered into that covenant relationship and promised the Father and the Son to make the gospel effectual and alive and to make his people willing in the day of his power and to bring them to faith in Christ so that everyone that the Father chose, everyone that that Christ redeemed, the Holy Spirit regenerates. And there is the hope of our salvation based on his promises. You hear men talk about salvation and they'll say, well, you know, if you believe, God will save you. And our gospel says, I have saved you and you will believe. You hear men say, well, you know, if you repent, God will forgive you. And our God says, I've already forgiven you and you will repent. The covenant of works, the free will works gospel says, if you serve God, he'll bless you. And the covenant of grace says, I have blessed you and you will serve me. It's a completely different gospel. It's a different God. It's a message of life or a message of death. It's a gospel that's completely dependent upon our God keeping his promises versus one that's dependent upon you keeping yours. What hope, what freedom, what liberty we have in Christ. And that was David's hope. And David, you know, speaks prophetically as the Lord Jesus. And so when we read these verses in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we understand them in light of this gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in an eternal covenant that that cannot fail. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 23, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, that's the Lord Jesus. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God. And the Father said to him, sit thou here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So our Lord has been raised from the dead and ascended on high. He's the anointed of the God of Jacob, and he is the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. There's our hope. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They've got to be revealed by the Spirit of God. And that's our hope and prayer this morning, that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to us. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Our God reigns. We've seen this already this weekend, over the living and the dead. He's sovereign. over the armies of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth. No man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Here he is. Verse 4. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth. We woke up this morning to a little liquid sunshine, but it'll be gone, I think, in the next hour or two. But here's the sun that rises over the horizon that reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall be the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by a clear shining after rain. And then this is David's last words. Although my house be not so with God. None of our houses, our families, or the tabernacle of our own flesh is as it ought to be. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. There's that covenant of grace where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, before Adam was ever made, established the salvation of their people. And so he says, although my house be not so with God, yet he's made with me an everlasting covenant. And this covenant is ordered in all things. Everything necessary to ratify this covenant and to fulfill the promises of God were accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Ordered in all things. And sure, certain, no way our God can fail. David goes on to say, this is all my salvation. All the hope of my salvation is bound up in the promises that my God made. This is all my salvation. This is all my desire. I don't have any interest in going anywhere else to find any place else where I can find the hope for my soul and the forgiveness of my... This is all my salvation, all my desire. Though he make it not to grow... Todd and I were talking this morning, and I was encouraged to hear him agree with me that the older we get, the less confidence we have in ourselves. And some of you young people will learn that, I think, as the years go by. But that's what David was saying. Although he make it not to grow, I look at my life and I don't see any growth in grace. I'm more dependent upon him now than I've ever been before, and I see more of my sin now than I ever saw before. Yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Let's stand together. Tom's going to come and lead us in that hymn, number 21 in your spiral hymnal, number 21.
God the Father and the Son and the Spirit, three in one, made eternal ages past, made a covenant sure and fast. God my Father chose his own in the person of his Son, and ordained that I should be one with him eternally. God the Son agreed to come in the flesh to bring me home. He would keep God's holy law and retrieve me from the fall. Christ in love so willingly stood as my great surety. For my price he offered blood to appease the wrath of God. God the Spirit, heavenly dove, bringing life and peace and grace to the chosen, purchased race. He seeks the lost, heals the lame, and he brings us to the Lamb. By his mighty sovereign call, God's elect are gathered all. This poor sinner is secure, for God's covenant will endure. It is sealed by God's own word, by his Spirit and his blood. Blessed Holy Covenant God, I am yours by ties of blood, ties of grace and ties of love. Hold me to my God above.
Please be seated. Hymn number 125, I think it is. Yes, 125 in your hardback hymnal. Okay. We have a special also. Okay. Number 125.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We have special music now. Caleb and Adam, special music.
Dark the stain that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Conscious of the deep pollution, sinners wander in the night. Though they hear the shepherd calling, they still fear to face the light. This the blessed consolation that can melt the heart of stone. That sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. All unworthy we who've wandered, and our eyes are wet with tears, as we think of love that sought us through the weary wasted years. Yet we walk the holy highway, walking by God's grace alone, knowing Calvary's fountain reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. When with holy choirs we're standing in the presence of the King, and our souls are lost in wonder while the white robe choirs sing, then we'll praise the name of Jesus with the millions round the throne. Praise him for the power that reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone.
So thankful for that. Thank you, ma'am. One of the great blessings for me in having a conference is that I get to sit and listen. And it's been such a blessing yesterday and Friday night, and looking forward to this morning. I want to thank these men again. Kevin, Kimberly, thank you for coming all the way from California. And Todd, appreciate you being here, brother. Let's ask the Lord's blessings. Our Heavenly Father, we know that the hearing ear and the seeing eye are both of you. Lord, we do pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. We pray that you would cause us to have ears to hear thy voice, and Lord, that you would, by your power, and by your Spirit, bring us to bow and to rejoice and to believe all that you've done and all that you've declared. We thank you for these men, and we pray for your blessings on them as they stand to speak. And Lord, that Christ would be lifted up and that we would be drawn in faith to him. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Kevin, you come, brother.
Good morning. If you will, be turning to Genesis chapter 9, it'll be our text for this morning. And while you're turning there, I want to thank each of you. I try to thank Greg and Tricia every day, and I feel like we're at an all-inclusive resort. And I'm grateful they are given to hospitality, but as are many of you. It takes a lot to have a conference, and I'm thankful for you. There's trash has to be taken out, and floors got to be swept, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for each of you. Our text this morning, the Lord's word's a two-edged sword. I can't make it that way. He does. And there's two responses to the gospel, generally speaking. You either bow to the word of God or you butt against it. That's the two responses in the heart when someone hears the word of the Lord. There's either hatred or humbleness. I'm not equipped to make that happen. And isn't that something? You can read the same passage and one person will cry and say, "Thank you, Lord. You've showed me your grace one more time." And another person will say, "I can't stand hearing that," and they'll storm out. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what we handle. This story here, some may say, "This is a horrible story. Why are you even reading this? This is terrible." And this has blessed me so much. This is a beautiful story. And I'm going to give you keys to the house before we even start. I'm going to tell you my end before we get there, before we even start. Let's read this here in Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. Genesis 9, verse 18. "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman." He was a farmer. "And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, 'Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren.' And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord, God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.' And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died." We've been going through Genesis there in San Diego, and it's been a blessing to me, and I think it has been to those brethren too. And our Lord told plainly, he said, "Moses wrote of me." And the Lord revealed himself to us as we went through Genesis, and it's precious. Each day of creation, that's Christ. He's our light, Christ our light. He's our heaven, capital H heaven. He's our firmament. That means atonement, a covering. It's him. But I'm going to summarize, if you'll let me, Genesis chapter 6 through 8, and I'll go real quick. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it says. After that, the Lord told Noah he was going to be gracious to him. It came to Noah, and it came first, just as that Holy Spirit does, convicting of sin, convicting of Christ's righteousness, and convicting of judgment. He came to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy this whole earth. That's how the Lord spoke to Noah. He said, make thee an ark. You have an ark. There's salvation. I will provide, is what the Lord told him. Noah believed God, and he obeyed him. There was faith and obedience, walked hand in hand. He believed God. He was put in that ark. The Lord put him in there. He said, come thee and all thy house into the ark. And he was sealed with pitch within and without. There wasn't a drop of wrath was going to touch Noah. And that pitch was on the inside, so he could see it. That's the blood of Christ. He was sealed forever in that ark. He saw God's punishment of sin. Can you imagine that? Those anthropologists, some of them working on their PhDs, and they estimate the population of the earth in Noah's day was somewhere between 750 million and 4 billion. That's a pretty wide range, but how many people's on earth? A lot. How many survived? Eight. They were on that ark, and they looked out, and it wasn't the Bahamian shelf with crystal clear water like down in Key West. Bodies floating, rubble all around, death and carnage. He saw the judgment of the Lord, what the Lord thought of sin and what he did with it. Finally, he sent out that dove and that raven. The raven didn't come back. It could live on anything. It could sleep on top of a floating dead body. It could eat death, carrion. But that dove couldn't. And that dove returned to the ark. That's its only home. The Lord's people come back to Christ. That's our only hope. That's our only salvation. And it comes a second time with an olive branch in its mouth. What's the only thing that can come out of our mouth if we know the Lord? Peace. Salvation's accomplished. That was it. Noah, after the Lord kept him in that ark for a year, he sent him loose and he built an altar. And he sacrificed to the Lord a sweet-smelling savor. Picturing Christ, our sacrifice, our propitiation, that acceptable bloody sacrifice. He's our sweet-smelling savor to the Father. And because God was pleased with the sacrifice, because he had accepted the sacrifice, he made a covenant with Noah to show him he was accepted, that the sacrifice was accepted, and he gave him the rainbow. Natural man says, well, that rainbow means God ain't going to flood the earth again. That rainbow's Christ. Everything in it. Seven colors, the number of perfection. Purple's closest to us. We see royalty. We see Christ between us and the God we offended. And when the Lord looks at us, he sees red. He sees the blood. Changes your attitude about a rainbow, don't it? And we still have that token. We may see it today. I'm excited. We preached it. Don't rain much in San Diego. We got to the rainbow, and I didn't watch the Weather Channel to decide what I'm going to preach on. And everyone in that church there got to see a rainbow within a couple of days. I was thankful the Lord gave us that. That's a covenant of grace, covenant of substitution of the blood of Christ. And that was stirred up in Noah's pure mind, as Peter said. He was brought into remembrance of Christ every time he looked at that rainbow. What a gift the Lord's given us. How gracious he is to an undeserving people. Believer still has that token in our day. And then Noah was a type of Adam. Picture of him. He was the head of the earth. He was the head honcho. He was in charge of everything. There's just eight of them. That was God's prophet on this earth. He was the head of them. He was given much responsibility. Now throughout Noah's life, he's seen all this. The Lord showed him his judgment and his mercy and his covenant. He spoke with him. He's found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a blessed man. Would you agree? Noah was blessed. The Lord said Noah was a just man. And he was perfect in his generation. Noah was righteous. He was a sinner saved by grace. That's what he was. What's our hope of being saved? Many people struggle with assurance. God didn't say Noah was perfect for now. Not that Noah could be perfect. He said he is perfect. And what the Lord says is true. And he's the one that keeps his word. I don't feel holy. God says I am if I'm his. If you're his, if all your hope is Christ Jesus our Lord, that's it. Cling to him alone. You're holy. The Lord says so. Christ is our righteousness. He's our sanctification, our wisdom. Was the Lord abundant in mercy and grace to Noah? Was he tender and long-suffering and kind and loving to Noah? He was. Here's a story we ought to get out of this text today. There was a righteous man. He was righteous and he fell in sin. He was exposed of his nakedness. Someone accused him of his sin and another covered him. Have we seen that before? I didn't go back to Genesis 1. We've seen that before, haven't we? This is proof that the Lord wrote the scriptures through a man. I've heard many people tell me, so well, man wrote the scriptures, you can't trust it. No, man might have been the hand that held the pen, but God the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures. We read Jonah. Jonah wrote Jonah. The last punctuation in the book of Jonah is a question mark. The Lord asked Jonah a question. Well, what was the answer to the question? Jonah wrote the book of Jonah. That peevish prophet, he said, that's me. You go read Philemon. That's a beautiful short read. And if you got a footnote at the bottom of that, it'll say, by Onesimus, written in Rome, by Onesimus a servant. Onesimus physically wrote out, I'm an unworthy servant. I've wronged thee. He wrote everything for Paul. That's proof the Lord wrote it to us. Paul said this was for our learning. The scriptures are for our learning. And we have much to learn. In this short passage, we can learn a lot. I've learned a lot from it. It was a blessing to me. Noah was just. He walked with God and he failed. Old J.C. Ryle said the best of men are only men at their very best. And all these old patriarchs and the martyrs and the reformers and the Puritans, and they're all sinners who need a Savior. They're useful, they're honorable in their place, but sinners after all. That's all we can be. After God saves a person, they still have an old nature with them. And it doesn't matter how long you walk with the Lord, how much you mature, how much understanding you get, the highest title you will ever have is a sinner saved by grace. Noah was 600 years old when this took place. He walked with the Lord 600 years. That's pretty mature, isn't it? I won't make it that long. And he failed. By God giving it to him, Noah walked with integrity in a wicked world. He upheld true worship. What does this mature, wise, experienced man do? He grows a vineyard. He produces some really good wine. And he drinks it and gets drunk on purpose. He uncovers himself and he passes out. What a shame. All that any of us need is a temptation, and the Lord allow us to act on it. My pastor told me growing up, he said, don't you look down your nose at David just because your Bathsheba hasn't showed up yet. That's true, isn't it? The Lord takes his hand off of any of us. Paul warned us of this in Galatians 6. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you that understand, you that have a new spirit, you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why ought we do that? He put a semicolon there. Considering thyself, lest ye be also tempted. Our old man doesn't improve with time. We can center the gospel for decades. We can grow in grace. And our flesh is just as vile and as wicked as it ever has been. It's still in us. That's what we're housed in. And we have to daily fight against it. And some days are just harder than others. Some days are tough. But when we think we have a handle on it, trouble's on the horizon. Every year I live, I think, well, last year I was just an idiot. But this year I've got my act together. Bet you $5 what I'll think next year. Paul said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Solomon says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and the Lord's word is true. I say this often. If I was the only person on a deserted island, I was on a deserted island all by myself. This word is true. There's an enemy encompassed about me. I'm going to have trials. I'm going to have heartache. I'm going to need to cry out to the Lord. It's true, isn't it? Noah was a righteous man and he failed. Next, we see that we never sin alone. Someone always gets hurt by it. It can tarnish a man's witness of the gospel for generations to come. After Noah, after this flood and after his fall, Noah lived 350 years. And you go ask anybody about Noah and they remember two things. He built an ark and he got drunk. Doesn't say anything else. 350 years is a long time. The Lord didn't comment on it. He didn't give it to Moses to tell us what happened. The last thing we know of him is his fall. What does everybody know about Jonah? He's a peevish prophet. He was disobedient. He went and got that ticket to Tarshish. He said, well, the Lord must be the Lord's providence. They were not sold out. There's room on the boat. He was still the Lord's prophet, though. This should teach every one of us that hears that salvation must be all of grace. When we see all of these prophets of old, every one of them failed. Everyone was fickle and feeble and completely unable. What does that mean? Salvation's of grace. It's not of man. Must be. If we ask Noah, how are you any better than all those the Lord just drowned? He would say, I'm not. I am what I am by the grace of God. This shows us salvation's all of grace from the beginning to the end. All of God's servants throughout Scripture, everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Abraham, Jacob, all of them, and all of us too. All of us. We should see our need of the righteousness of another. We should see our need of a covering from our Lord Jesus Christ. We need him before that holy God that we offended. Of ourselves, by ourselves, seeking our own righteousness, we're nothing but just like Adam and Eve. We're naked, we're uncovered, and we're fallen. Now, we're not to make excuses for sin. What Noah did was wrong. But thanks be to God for his word. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, John told us. And if any man sin, when any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You're going to fall. I'm going to fall. But I have an advocate. When our brothers and sisters fall, do we go in and reveal them and go whispering? And you have an advocate. That's what we looked at yesterday. You want to solve a problem? Preach Christ. You want to help somebody that's sad? Preach Christ. Somebody needs to be brought down a peg or two? Preach Christ. That's it, isn't it? We have an advocate. When a believer sins, and we have an advocate with his Father. His blood will wash away all our sins. It's easy to look down our nose at people that sin different than we do. But does it take a different payment for sin, for their sin versus mine? Is something other than the blood of Christ required? It's not, is it? It's the same. The cure is the same. He's the same. Some argue that Christ's blood at Calvary was only for past sins. That was 2,000 years before my birth. All of my sins were future sins when he hung on that cross. One more thing to learn is we need to give constant attention to the Lord's word. And prayer and to preaching. So we're not led into temptation. Our Lord taught us to pray that way, didn't he? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Keep us from it. And through that, through the hearing of the word preached, through seeking his word, we're brought to pray, Lord, you must keep us. Not, well, I'm so strong now, I can resist. That's not the case. Lord, you must keep me. What a total dependence we have on him for all things. For all things. I get so proud and thinking I can do something. Thinking I provide for my family or I did this or I did that. And I know I can't take my next breath unless the Lord give it to me. I get to use all my illustrations I burn up in San Diego. They're new to you. But somebody got real mad a while back. We had a president that said, you didn't build that. And I thought, well, he spoke the truth in contention, didn't he? We did. The Lord gave us the strength and the muscle fibers and the food in our bellies, didn't he? We never begin in the spirit and end up perfect in the flesh. We begin in the spirit, we walk in the spirit, and we end in the spirit that he's given us. Our flesh does nothing but sin. That's all we are. Now the accuser. The curse and the blessing. Verse 22 says there in Genesis 9:22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. He published his father's sin. Ham took pleasure in telling his brothers about it. He didn't honor his father. He didn't honor the name of his father. He didn't honor the God of his father that his father told him about. He published it. Why do you think he did that? Could be Noah's chasing him over the same thing. Maybe Ham's laid up drunk a couple of times and he whipped him. He said, I got him now. For whatever reason, out of self-righteousness and pride, he knew somebody did something wrong and he wanted justice. Instead of having compassion on the head of his family, he spoke out about it. They didn't have no billboards back then. There's eight people on earth. We was driving through Canada one time. They had these posters hanging from a bridge, an overpass of anti-abortion. And it was violent looking. And there's a place in West Virginia there across the street from an adult bookstore. There was big signs up. And there's a man with binoculars that would write down the license plates. We had to drive by there to get gas when I was in the military. And he's writing down people's license plates that pulled in there to make sure there's nobody in church. That's pretty blatant, isn't it? There's eight people on earth. He didn't have to scream. He didn't have to put up a sign. He didn't have to build a big tower to tell people about it. He walked out to his brothers and said, I don't want to say anything, but he whispered it. I really don't want to bring this up. I probably ought not say nothing, but you know what Dad did? You know what he did? What may seem harmless to us, God looks on the heart. And Ham revealed his true heart by what came out of his mouth. Did mercy come out of his mouth? Did grace come out of his mouth? Did abundant love come out of his mouth? Ham was a God-hating rebel, and he hated his father, and he hated his father's God. And people said, well, it doesn't look like that to me. It looked like he was doing the right thing. He was seeking justice. You did wrong. You better get to apologizing. That's not the case, was it? It's not what the Lord records for us. And he wasn't just a misguided teenager. This got a hold of me. This wasn't a young adult trying to figure things out and he made a bad decision. Ham was at least 100 years old. This was a 100-year-old man. He was well seasoned, wasn't he? He knew what he was doing, and he did it willingly. There's always wheat next to the tares. There's a tare on that ark. Ham was on that ark. In this world, there'll always be wolves among the sheep. There'll always be hypocrites. There'll always be false believers. There'll always be accusers trying to sort everybody out and set things right. And they'd always use the honor of God to say so. Well, no, we've learned better, and we know better, and we ought not do these things. It'll always happen. And I thought, man, if I could go through and just clean out a place. If I did have that ability, I don't. But if I could set everything right, and we did everything right, and there's only the Lord's wheat there. What does the scripture say? There must be heresies among you. It ain't going to last more than 30 seconds. It ain't possible. The Lord didn't say it wouldn't be. The body of Christ, his local assemblies, will never be rid of the accusers. And if we're on that private island all by ourselves, there'll be an accuser with us. There'll be one right here. Ain't no way I could be a child of God. There's no way he could have saved me. I'm not good enough. Look at what I thought. Look at what I did. Told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, didn't he? There was no repentance in Ham. Ham didn't apologize after this. He didn't beg for forgiveness from his father. He says in verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan, which was Ham's youngest son. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Even when Noah cursed him, it didn't faze him. It didn't faze him. He probably thought, well, Dad's just mad. It'll blow over. He'll get over it. God cursing Ham just as he cursed Cain. It was a spiritual curse. Outwardly, it looks like everything was fine. Looks like he prospered. Had Nimrod, didn't he? Ham's son, he became mighty. Babylon came out of Ham. Egypt came out of Ham. Ethiopia. Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a huge metropolitan area. How successful. But they were cursed. Just as that great accuser of the brethren was. What seemed to be so successful. They had Christ on a cross and they killed him. He said, I won. Everybody thought he was defeated. And that was the very act that crushed his head. He bruised our Savior's heel. And in doing so, the Lord crushed his head. Canaan was Ham's youngest son, but what a picture. That land that Israel was going to go into was prepared by Cain. He served Israel. He became a servant, just as the word says, doesn't it? That curse fell on the lineage of Ham. God visits the iniquities of the father on the following generations. Oh, that us fathers would bow to the word of God. That I would bow for my children's sake and my grandchildren's sake to the word of God. I pray he'd be with me. Allow me to believe God. Believe his word. Here's the blessing. Shem's the father of the Hebrews. I should have gave you that beforehand too. Ham's the father of Cain. Shem's the father of Hebrews. And Japheth, he's the father of the Gentiles, of Europe, the Europeans and things. Picturing God's elect of Jew and Gentile. And both of them refused to dishonor their father. They refused to expose his sin. Why? Because their sin had been covered. They knew something of grace. They knew something of forgiveness. They had been forgiven much. A man can't forgive unless he's been forgiven. You can't love unless you've been loved. You can't cover sin unless your sin's been covered. They love Christ. And they love those that Christ died for. That was their father, but that was their brother in spirit too. It wasn't no difference. It says in verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders. Jew and Gentile. What's the difference? It's what we bear. Carries across both shoulders. We've both all been covered. All the children of God have been covered, robed in his righteousness. They put it on both their shoulders and went in backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards. They didn't even look on it, and they didn't see their father's nakedness. Someone came to me with a problem, a marital problem or whatever, and said, you know, we're having troubles, and here's the reason. I don't want to hear it. I don't need to know. Here's what God's word says. Isn't that a good way to be? What's God say? Well, I think, I heard your pastor say this recently in Proverbs 31. The root word of opinion and heresy is the same. Well, I think next time somebody tells me, I think the scriptures, no, go ahead, tell me what your heresy is. Hard, isn't it? They didn't go out and tell anyone, Shem and Japheth. They loved their father. And they honored him. And they covered his sin. I was about to get up and say, I'm going to preach your bulletin today. Kimberly asked me an article I wrote. She said, when did you write that? I said, I don't even remember writing it. But if we want to serve God, everybody says, I want to be a servant of God. Good, here's your chance. Start loving. Be merciful. People want to be long-suffering until the suffering kicks in. Everybody wants to bear burdens until you bear it like a backpack. And it's heavy, and your back hurts, and your feet get tired. It's all fun and games till it comes to the doing. Till it comes into practice, we hit it in shoe leather. But they actually acted like someone that experienced grace. The wisest man that ever walked the face of this earth, born of Adam, Solomon, he said, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. All of them. All sins. You who believe, aren't you glad that the Almighty God hasn't exposed your nakedness? Has he covered you in his own garment from his shoulder? Did he remove his garment and put it on you? Did he bear your burden? True love from the Lord in a person's heart covers sin. Peter had that experience. He told us, he said, above all things, have fervent charity. It's love. Have fervent love among yourselves, for love covereth the multitude of sins. Where did these boys learn this? Noah told them, didn't he? Their daddy told them. Told them of Adam. Adam fell in the garden. He fell in sin. He was naked. He knew it. He was exposed. And God covered him. He slew a lamb. And fig leaves are just going to keep wilting. God said, I'll provide myself a lamb. I'll cover you. Shem and Japheth showed the conduct of a believer. They had been forgiven and they forgave. They were covered and then they covered. They were loved and they showed love. Gossiping, slandering people that... And I have a flesh too. I have an old nature. There's things that... You hear something, and the reason I wrote that is because I said, well, I don't want to say nothing, but I didn't hear somebody else say that come from me. We have an old nature in us. But someone that just thrives on gossiping and slandering people and secrets and whispering, they don't believe God. They haven't had a work of grace done in them. They've never been given a new heart. Boy, we pray that we have. And I want this old man that I live in to be done with. The older I get, the more wicked I am. Somebody said one time, I said, well, the world's getting more wicked. Scriptures say so. I said, well, we can sin more efficiently now. We can do it quicker. But the heart of man hasn't changed. But as I age, as I get older, I get more wicked. If I was alone on a deserted island, this world is getting more wicked every day. We get tired of it, don't we? Well, it says in verse 26, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. The Lord's going to increase the Gentiles. He's told us from the beginning. We don't think that's a big deal, but we have a high priest. We didn't grow up seeing that. That's important. The Lord saved an elect out of Israel, and he's saved an elect out of the Gentiles. What a blessing we have. So would he really do all this? Would the Lord really curse a whole section of people that hated him anyway? They willfully sinned against him. Ham willfully went out and told his brethren. Would he really bless this many people inside of somebody? For one or two people? For a remnant here and there? He said, I'll give nations for you. I'll give nations for you. Does that make me proud? Oh, it gives me a humble heart. We was driving the other day, so much traffic. Here, just same as it is in California. And I thought, look at just the thousands and thousands and thousands of people walk around as in the days of Noah. That doesn't make me proud and puffed up. That breaks my heart. I'm going to go tell them and shake them. Believe God. Believe his word. Look to his son. You don't know what kind of mess you're in. Verse 28 says, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. I pray however many years I have on this earth that if there is a memory of me, it'll be a memory of me serving the Lord and not this flesh that I am. I pray it for all of us. But I won't really care because I won't be here. I'll be with him. Why? How could I be in front of a holy God I offended? He covered me. I fell. I was naked. I was accused. And there's truth in that accusation, wasn't it? And another come in and covered me. That makes me want to walk every day in this earth covering the sins of my brethren. What'd they do? I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I love them. I love you. And I, because that's what I want from you. Some of y'all have known me for a long time. Forgive me, as the Lord forgave me. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. This is your time to take a break, and we'll all stand together and sing a congregational hymn, the hymn that's on the back of your bulletin.